One pull quote here from Dick Wadhams, Denver Post article. Quote, the brutal truth is that only four Republicans, Armstrong, Brown, Allard, and Owens, have won major statewide office over the past 40 years, while 15 other Republican candidates lost during that time. Democrats have won 16 elections for governor and U.S. senator since 1972, while Republicans won only 8. Now, that is a poor ratio, if you want my opinion. And here we have the source of that quote with us. Dick Wadhams, thanks for joining us on Backbone Radio this evening.
Well, nice to be with you, Matt.
Okay. Well, hey, read your column, and I think, Colorado's reading it. I even see it's getting some national play. And, let's just get right to the point. What can you tell us? What's been going on, and why is this ratio so bad for Republicans?
Well, Matt, I think there are a lot of reasons for it. The state is changing, but it's been changing for 40 years. I mean, in that same piece that you allude to, I talk about how after a decade of Republican dominance in the 1960s, all of a sudden Democrats after Watergate ran the table, swept an entire generation of Republicans out, and then the only Republicans to win over the next 22 years were Armstrong and Brown, and then we had a good run with Allard and Owens, and then one election with Campbell when he became a Republican. But basically, when you look back over 40 years, I mean, we've only had four individual Republicans who started their careers as Republicans and who have won statewide office. And a lot of those candidates, those 15 candidates that you mentioned in that quote you pulled, they were good people. In fact, the vast majority of them, only a couple of exceptions, would I say, were not good candidates who were capable of serving in the office they were running for. But the vast majority of them were excellent candidates, and they would have been outstanding governors or senators during that time. But they all fell short for one reason or another, and they didn't match the quality of campaigns that the four individuals that did win had during that period of time. This state is always going to be a dynamic state with a changing population. Right now, we've got a rising Hispanic population. Suburban women have always been a challenge for Republicans going back to the 1970s. So that hasn't changed much. It's just an important factor in every election. And I wrote the piece, Matt, because I wanted Republicans to start thinking about this race in 2014. I think we do have opportunities to win those two major races, but we will not win with just any candidates. We've got to have candidates who really meet the five criteria that I laid out, and who can, and if Republicans don't think about that and spend some time doing that, we're going to lose again. And we might anyway, because these are two incumbents. Incumbents are hard to dislodge. And it's not that we nominated moderates who won. The guys who won, Matt, as you well know,
yes,
were strong conservatives. And they ran that way, and they governed that way.
Now, you think about Bill Armstrong. You think about Hank Brown. And I actually used to work for Hank Brown in Washington, D.C. Think about Bill Owens and Wayne Allard. The word that comes to mind to describe them is not squish.
No.
So if you could put in a bottle what these guys have, and you do in your column, you outline a few, some of the criteria or some of the things they did have in common. But what do these guys have in common that we could learn from as we look to 2014?
Well, I really do think that they were candidates who did not convey any hostility to any voter groups. Now, certainly, many voters have disagreed with them. You're not going to get 100%. But they just, as a matter of their personal demeanor and the way they conducted themselves, did not repel any voters. In fact, they felt like they were so comfortable in their philosophy, they felt like that they could make a case for their vision of limited government and of lower taxes and to any voter. And so their personal demeanor was very welcoming at all times. They didn't They didn't have records where they just conveyed hostility to anyone. And they were likable. I think that's an important commodity in Colorado. I think, first and foremost, Colorado voters who are in that middle, who swing back and forth, want to know if they can identify with the candidate. I think about Wayne Allard against Tom Strickland. I mean, Wayne, you looked at Wayne and you said, boy, that guy he kind of looks like I do. He works hard. And this Tom Strickland, I'm going to grab my wallet. he just comes across as a guy you can't trust. And I guess that's what I think, that first and foremost, you've got to have that commodity.
And I remember one of the things that this might have been something that your influence when you managed those successful Allard campaigns is the contrast between a workhorse and a show horse.
Exactly, and the veterinarian versus the lobbyist, but Allard also knew who he was and what he stood for. There was no ambiguity about what he wanted to do. He started off the campaign in 96 saying, I want to balance the budget, I want to return power to state and local government, and I want to reduce taxes and regulations on families and small businesses. He ran with that agenda all through the primary and right through the general election and right into the U.S. Senate. And you can go with every one of those guys. And you talk about Hank Brown, as I allude in the piece, Matt, he did have kind of a moderate aura because he was pro-choice, because you well know this guy was a fierce fiscal conservative.
Hey, Dick, it's Randy Corcoran. How are you doing?
Hi, Randy. Nice to talk to you.
As you know, I'm the chair of the Tea Party, so yes. I come at Republican politics from a very conservative Tea Party perspective, and I really enjoyed your article. I thought it was well written. Obviously, you've got the history and the perspective to really get information out that people can use. But it seemed to me that you were specifically in this article calling out two upcoming candidates when you said, but if candidates are nominated who previously failed in statewide elections or who cannot grasp the realities of a very dynamic Colorado electorate, the losing streak will continue. And the two candidates that popped to mind for me who have lost statewide office in recent history are Tom Tancredo and Senate candidate Ken Buck. Did you have them in mind?
Indeed, I did. I cannot see how a candidate who has clearly had a history of rhetoric that has alienated Hispanic voters can get elected statewide in Colorado. I don't see it. And in terms of Ken Buck, who I think would have been a marvelous United States senator, and Ken actually was going into October with a lead, but he said some things that gave Michael Bennett the ability to come back from behind and win that in October 2010.
Would that have been the infamous Meet the Press interview with David Gregory you might be referring to there?
Meet the Press, and there were some other things, but that kind of crystallized the problems that Ken encountered. And those issues don't go away. And I think Colorado Republicans, and the other thing I think we need to, I didn't put too fine of a point on in the piece, but we need faces of the future. We need people who, and that doesn't mean they haven't ever been in public office, but they need to be people who are stepping forward and stepping up to the challenge of running for governor and U.S. senator, and who are new faces. I don't think going back to the past is going to win elections in Colorado this election. And so I think both of those candidates would find themselves fighting on turf that they carved out in years earlier, and they would never get around to being able to take a positive agenda into the campaign. That's my opinion.
Now, what about the potential that a hostile media would make it almost impossible in this day and age for a Republican running for office to have that statesmanlike aura of the Armstrong, the Brown, Owens, or an Allard? Do you think that it's beyond the pale at this point for a Republican to achieve that kind of stature?
Not at all, Matt. In fact, I got to tell you, if you go back, if somebody spent time just going back through the video and news clips of all those campaigns, even the 1978 Armstrong campaign against Senator Haskell, you'll see the same old playbook. Armstrong's too extreme. He's too much of a right winger. He can't win. But what Armstrong had was a professional background that people liked. He could articulate his conservative positions, and he reached out to voters who beyond the Republican Party. And the media has the hostility to a conservative Republican in certain parts of the media has always been there. But these candidates were able to survive that because of the kind of people they were, the way they conducted their campaigns, and they brought something that clearly a majority of Coloradans liked. So, you know, Allard was totally dismissed by the news media as there's no way.
That's right. I remember it very well. And as we come up on our break, we're talking with Dick Wadhams. Why don't we pick up right where we left off when we come back?
Sure.
All right. You're listening to Backbone Radio.
KNUS. News Talk 710. Floods, wildfires, and severe weather have devastated thousands this year. Is your business ready? Are you prepared to respond to and recover from an emergency or disaster? It's during these times that the community needs you the most. The Mile High Chapter of the American Red Cross and 710 KNUS present the Mile High Business Preparedness Academy. Business and community leaders are encouraged to join us for this vital preparedness workshop on Wednesday, September 18th. Presenters have real-world disaster response and operations experience. They are experts who are responsible for the welfare and safety of others at their business, organization, or community. The keynote speaker is Dr. John Nicoletti, a national expert on identifying, assessing, and diffusing attack-related behaviors. What if will inevitably become what now? At the Business Preparedness Academy, you can take the steps to say, we're ready. The Mile High Business Preparedness Academy, Wednesday, September 18th. Spaces limited. Register today at 710knus.com or ColoradoRedCross.org.
Go on, sweetie. Jump to Dad.
I'm not sure, Daddy. The water's cool.
There are moments in life that cause us to hesitate.
Jump right here.
Okay. Here I come.
I got you. Good job.
I did it. That was fun.
But once we take action, we're really glad that we did. If you're thinking about selling your home, don't hesitate. Interest rates are low and buyers are in the market. Every market's different. Call a Realtor today and visit Realtor.com. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Our great Sunday morning lineup just got better. You can now listen to Faith Walk today at 6 o'clock every Sunday morning, right here on 710 KNUS. Faith Walk today is the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Calvin Whitman, senior pastor at Applewood Baptist Church in Wheat Ridge, Colorado. The goal of this weekly message is to give you a practical understanding of God's Word and help you apply it to your daily walk. Tune in to Faith Walk today with Dr. Calvin Whitman of Applewood Baptist Church every Sunday morning at 6 on 710 KNUS.
Is your 401k really making money for you? Let us teach you how to trade stocks within your own retirement account tax-free, turn this into cash flow you can use right now, and even pay your debt off. And do all this safer than giving your money to your financial advisor. Come find out why buy and hold is dead. Financial Flight School, learn to fly your own plane financially. I'm Pastor David Mitchell. I'm a fourth-generation family businessman in the ministry 30 years, and I've never taken a salary from the church. They call me the mentor to millionaires, but really I just teach money secrets the wealthy have hidden from you for 300 years. This $3,500 seminar is offered to beginners for just $99.95. Don't miss the most effective two-day personal financial recovery event in America.
You can attend the upcoming seminar in Denver at the Courtyard Marriott in Cherry Creek. That's October 4th and 5th. The seminar will be held at the Courtyard Marriott in Cherry Creek, right here in Denver, October 4th and 5th.
Men, have you been trying to overcome a pornography habit alone? It is nearly impossible to do by yourself. However, you can escape a pornography addiction by joining other men in the fight. This is criminal defense attorney Terry O'Malley. Pornography use robs men of valuable time at work, time from family and intimacy with their spouse. In many cases, it results in criminal charges from desensitized inhibitions or unreasonable expectations. It is like a cancer holding men back from God's purpose for their lives. Do you want to make a change? Join other men at a weekly pornography accountability group where men meet to listen to speakers, encourage one another, and seek God's guidance. If you are ready to be set free, call Greg at 303-414-0717. The only cost is your time. You can have your life back again. Reclaim your family and career by calling Greg today at 303-414-0717. Again, that's 303-414-0717. Isn't it time to make the change?
This is Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn and Krista Kiefer.
Oh, yeah, a little Hillary Clinton theme song somehow thrown in from Stephen Patrick Morrissey and the Smiths. What difference does it make? We're talking about local politics here in Colorado and what does make a difference. Talking to Dick Wadhams, outstanding political campaign manager and consultant. I've known him going back 20 years, I'll tell you, back when Dick Wadhams looked like a 17-year-old kid, still does, by the way, just getting Hank Brown elected to the United States Senate. That's going back to, I guess it was the late 80s. The election was 1992 when that took place. And Dick Wadhams, in your column today in the Denver Post, which I encourage everybody to read, outlines five different areas that our most successful Republican politicians have won statewide, and these names are Bill Armstrong, Hank Brown, Bill Owens, and Wayne Allard, but they were positive, upbeat leaders. They did not convey hostility to any group in the state. They were substantive and conservative in their agendas. They were not afraid to touch issues like the environment and education, which tend to be considered Democrat strongholds. They made sharp contrasts with their Democrat opponents, and they did counterattack when the Democrats would distort their records and their characters. And in general, these four individuals were disciplined and focused in their campaigns. And we're kicking around ideas here. Is how can we get some of those ideas in a bottle and convert that to Republican statewide advantage here in 2014? Is that a pretty good summary, Dick Wadhams, of what you see in these four individuals who've been successful in Colorado?
It really is, Matt. And for lack of space, it was a pretty long piece to, anyway, but the Denver Post was very nice to give me the space they did. But there's one other myth that that I think it runs in Republican circles that I know you two have heard, is that several of the Republicans who lost in the past 40 years lost because they were embroiled in nasty primaries and they were just so debilitated by the time they came out of primary. And I think that's a bunch of bunk. I think competition for Republican nominations is good. I think going through a grueling convention process, precinct caucuses, county assemblies, the state assembly, and then a primary, I think brings out the best in people. And there is no better example than Ken Buck. I mean, Ken Buck was the underdog in that race. He won the Republican nomination. And it made him a better candidate and ready to go in that general. Unfortunately, he did make some mistakes in the final analysis that essentially gave the election to Bennett. But I go back. I mean, Allard and Owens both had tough primaries. In fact, Allard was the big underdog when he ran against Gail Norton that year. Bill Armstrong had a primary. Matt, he ran against an American hero, Jack Swigert, in a primary in 1978. And yet all those guys, Hank Brown is the only one who didn't have a primary of the four. Primaries are good. I mean, competition is good. And having hundreds of thousands of Republicans nominate a candidate, that's a good thing. That is not a bad thing. So when I hear Republicans go, "Oh, we don't need these primaries," I'm thinking, well, how do we nominate candidates? Are you suggesting we have just a handful of people in a room or something? But I just think competition is good.
Yeah, tell me about 06, though, with the Beaupre-Holtzman primary. And I thought that one was brutal, and it lingered on after Beaupre had won that primary election, and Holtzman just seemed to not be able to let go, and, of course, the media loved that. Do you think that hurt Beaupre in 06?
You know, it probably didn't help him, but I don't think that beat Bob. I got to tell you, Bob was still ahead over Ritter early in that campaign. I think what got Bob Beaupre in trouble was that Bob didn't have as specific of an agenda as he needed to go into a gubernatorial election, whereas Ritter, and he did have one. It's not one I agreed with. But that new energy economy stuff, I think, you know, I think voters kind of liked on the surface. I think many had regrets after he got elected. But I think back to the Owens race, Matt, when, I mean, he had three key points, that to cut taxes, reform education, improve transportation, and we had extensive policy positions behind every one of those, which he immediately undertook and enacted after he got elected in 1998.
Yes, he did.
And I'm not sure that there was that standard was met by the Beaupre's in that 2006 election. So even that campaign, and I understand it was bitter and it was personal, but I still think that was still a winnable race, even in the final analysis, in my opinion.
Yep.
I'm sure some people will disagree with me on that.
Good point. Now, we had a listener email in real briefly, and it was an issue related to what I would call some of the Republican wounds in the state, and it's about Governor Owens maybe switching his endorsement from Schaefer to Coors, and that would have been the 04 Senate race. And we could talk about that in specific, but a question I might ask for you, Dick Wadhams, is, you know, any Republican Party is going to have its internecine squabbles. It's going to have conflict, and sometimes it even seems more harsh within your own team than it does between teams, if you know what I mean. You might be in a position to know that. What can the state of Colorado, the Republican Party, statewide in Colorado, do to get over so many of these old Republican wounds inflicted on one another that, you know, go back a decade, even plus? Is there a way that we can get beyond that and move forward?
I think there is, and it's strong candidates coming forward with a clear agenda, who run disciplined campaigns, and who are able to grasp the challenge of running for governor and U.S. senator. I mean, it's not. I really don't think this is complicated, Matt. I really think, and those people are out there. I don't know who they are right now. We've got a lot of people entering these races for governor and senator, and this, a competitive primary process is going to bring forth the strongest candidates. This would always know, and we had a little situation in 2010 that kind of went haywire that we don't need to relive unless you want to.
Certainly, that would be the Dan Mays issue.
That's the only race that I think where the eventual nominee was not in a position to still win after a very competitive process. But by and large, I believe in competition. I guess that's one of the reasons I'm a Republican. And I still think that a competitive process will emerge with strong candidates, and if they do the things that those four people I talk about today, if they do those things, they can still win in the state.
Matt Dunn and Dick Wadhams, I've posted up a link to your Denver Post article on both the facebook.com/710KNUS page and the Backbone Radio page. When we come back from the top, Dick, I'm hoping you'll answer the question. I saw that Tom Tancredo's campaign put out one of those calls to fair play. You know, let's not make a Republican circular firing squad. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that idea, given your comments on the primary season.
Yep, and so we will be right back with Dick Wadhams for one more segment. Great to have him on, talking about the GOP, where do we go from here? And I have to say, I hear some notes of optimism in this guy's voice, and that's good for me to hear. Does my soul some good. Anyway, we'll be right back with Dick Wadhams on Backbone Radio.
Breaking news, intelligent talk, News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. The news now.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Deirdre Bryant. About 75 to 100 members of Congress interrupted their holiday weekend for a classified briefing on Syria. Administration officials presented evidence of a sarin gas attack on a rebel neighborhood, but many, like Democratic Congressman Chris Van Hollen, remain unsure about military action.
This is a partial blank check the way it's currently drafted, because it doesn't have those limitations.
Limitations on boots on the ground. Republican Congressman Scott Ridgel is skeptical about the aftermath of a potential strike.
What I wrestle with, and of course I'm continuing to wrestle with this, is how do we define success and our objective?
Congress doesn't return until a week from tomorrow, but House and Senate committees will hold hearings this week to lay out the groundwork ahead of a vote, and there'll be phone calls.
What the White House is trying to do is put a full court press on members of Congress, calls directly from the president, calls directly from the vice president and the secretary of state and others, trying to make their case to skeptical lawmakers. But if the vote was happening right now, probably wouldn't pass, but we'll see how the end of the week looks.
ABC's Jeff Zeleny. Former South African President Nelson Mandela returned home to suburban Johannesburg today after 86 days in the hospital. ABC's Rob Nelson is there.
Family members we spoke to tonight said they are happy and relieved that he's finally back home. But, of course, the big question still remains. Has Mandela come home because he's actually doing better, or has he come home to live out his last days?
Mandela's 95 and has a chronic lung infection. Four young people were killed on a highway north of New York City this morning. Their car jumped a guardrail, slammed into a bridge abutment, and caught fire. Police trying to determine if the driver lost control or was going too fast, all between the ages of 18 and 20. Ford is recalling 370,000 cars due to a potential corrosion of the steering shaft. The cars include Ford Crown Victoria, Mercury Grand Marquis, and Lincoln Town Cars. This is ABC News.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. With one phone call, you'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. It's a free service, so call now.
Call now, 800-460-3580, 800-460-3580.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Donate your vehicle and you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
You could return a phone call or clear out the email on a smartphone while waiting for a receipt to print at CVS. ABC's Daniela Bellotta says they're trying to speed things up.
CVS customers have taken to social media to complain.
CVS Pharmacy, their receipts are ridiculous. I bought Q-tips, 18 inches long.
Short compared to this shopper's.
I go to the CVS Pharmacy. I get this really long receipt, 39 3/4 inches.
And to prove it to friends, they're posting pictures on Facebook of them with it wrapped around their waist or holding it up alongside their 7-year-old. Since size does seem to matter, CVS says it's found a way to shorten its receipts without cutting out the coupons. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
Vodafone says it's in advanced talks to sell its 45% stake of Verizon Wireless back to the cell phone service provider for $130 billion in cash and stock. Verizon would then own its wireless business outright. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
News Talk 710, weather.
Mostly cloudy skies with isolated gusty thunderstorms can be expected as we head into the afternoon and evening. Any of these storms could be slow-moving and capable of producing heavy rain at times. Temperatures today will stay close to average with daytime highs in the low to mid-80s. We could still see a few lingering thunderstorms tonight. Otherwise, skies stay mostly cloudy with temperatures dropping down close to 60. Expect seasonal temperatures with another chance for showers and thunderstorms on Labor Day. I'm 710 KNUS forecaster Alyssa Robinette.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles. Have a wonderful Labor Day weekend. Monday morning, Julie Hayden from Fox News and Chuck Bonnewell from The Chronicle. They have the show. Of course, Julie's been really doing a great job with the story about the killing of Tom Clements and about El Turki, the Saudi guy in prison. Is there a connection? You'll be here with Chuck and Julie Monday, 710 KNUS.
Peter Boyles, weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on News Talk 710 KNUS.
When you've been fishing as long as me, you learn what works best. So when I found out I had prostate cancer, I turned to the place with the most experience in proton therapy, Loma Linda. They use a precise beam of protons to kill the cancer and nothing around it. And unlike other treatments, there's no pain and fewer side effects. It's no wonder Loma Linda has treated more people with protons than anyone. Take it from an old fisherman. Experience counts.
See why more people have been treated with proton therapy at Loma Linda University Medical Center than anywhere in the world. Learn how this innovative radiation therapy, pioneered by Loma Linda University Medical Center, precisely targets cancer cells while minimizing damage to the surrounding healthy tissue. Visit protons.com or call 1-800-PROTONS to receive a free informational DVD and to schedule a consultation today. Again, the number is 1-800-PROTONS.
The opinions expressed in the following program may not reflect those of Salem Communications, Salem Media of Colorado, 710 KNUS, or its management affiliates and sponsors.
And now, from the rooftop of the Rockies, it's Backbone Radio with Krista Kafer and Matt Dunn.
Okay, welcome back to Backbone Radio. Matt Dunn and Randy Corporan here, carrying the torch for liberty because we like it, and also because, you know, somebody's got to do it. We're talking to Dick Wadhams, famed political consultant, homegrown right here in Colorado, and tossing around Dick Wadhams' great column in the Denver Post comes out today. They gave it very prominent placement. It's getting national attention. You can see it linked over at realclearpolitics.com. And one thing I wanted to throw out here. Last week, Denver Post had a Lynn Bartles article about John Hickenlooper, our current governor's rather lackluster standing right now with the voters, a lackluster approval rating in which, guess what? More voters in Colorado say that Hickenlooper does not deserve to be reelected in 2014. Now, that sounds like vulnerability to me. These are from a Quinnipiac, wherever you pronounce that, university poll, and it actually has more data. Representative Tancredo versus Hickenlooper right now has them basically tied. Hickenlooper 46, Tancredo 45. Scott Gessler would, under present polling, lose to Hickenlooper 48-41. Greg Brophy would lose 48-39, which seems to, this is probably an early poll, a name ID poll, has Tancredo basically tied with Hickenlooper. Now, Dick Wadhams, how do you read that? Before I ask you a question about Tancredo, how do you read that poll data right there?
It shows a clear vulnerability of Governor Hickenlooper. I think to back to where Governor Owens was at this point in his first term, and Owens already had a 70% approval rating, and he was way ahead of any Democrat, and he clearly is very vulnerable right now by any standard. Those numbers are they're mediocre at best. I think they're poor. And so Hickenlooper and his decisions, I think, Matt, cut very deeply with the people of Colorado. The Dunlap decision, I think...
Yes.
I think was a horrible decision, obviously.
I'll tell you what, that has lit up our phone lines more than almost anything else in the past year is that decision right there.
Exactly. And then I think the more revelations that come out about the Ebell murder of Tom Clements, that was a tragic situation, the murder of Tom Clements, but I think it shows a Department of Corrections that is out of control and mismanaged under his watch, and it started under Bill Ritter before him. You throw in the gun laws that I think the Democrats, they are in a false sense of euphoria about gun laws being supported by the people of Colorado. I do not think that is the case. And so you add all this up, and yes, he's very vulnerable and can be defeated, in my opinion.
Okay, now we'll ask your opinion of Tancredo's urge that Republicans do not debate one another in a contentious primary. But you also mentioned earlier that you said back in 2010, when Tom Tancredo became the sort of de facto conservative nominee for the gubernatorial race after Dan Mays, or I don't know whatever you want to call that situation, but you said that maybe the nominee did not have a chance to win after all that went down with Mays. Now, I'm not sure if you were referring to the Republican nominee being Mays or if you were referring to Tancredo, but would you look at those results and say that if Tancredo would have been the Republican nominee from the start, could he have won statewide, or was he too handicapped being with the Constitution Party in 2010 and then getting a really late start? I think he basically had about 90 days to run that whole campaign.
In my opinion, Matt, I do not think that even if it had been a head-to-head with Hickenlooper and Tancredo, that Tancredo would have won in 2010. Because remember, Hickenlooper, he basically never ran a negative ad. He never had to talk about a Republican or the American Constitution Party candidate. And he just kind of slid into office.
But now Hickenlooper had a lot higher approval ratings at that time than he does now. Yeah, Would you factor that in?
Yes, he did. And I do not – so I personally think had that become a real campaign, one-on-one, head-on-head between Hickenlooper and Tancredo, that I personally do not think that Tancredo would have withstood – the scrutiny he would have gotten in that election. We'll never know because it didn't happen. But I do believe that there's – I believe that the record that Tancredo has a great deal of fodder for Democrats to use in an election against him. And he's never been tested statewide in a campaign like this. And I don't think he would hold up under scrutiny. And maybe he will become our nominee, Matt, and he'll become governor of Colorado, and I will be wrong, and we can replay this conversation.
Sure.
I don't believe he meets the criteria that I laid out today
right.
in that Denver Post piece.
Right, and that's what Republicans need to be looking at, you know, as we're heading into 2014, and I think you make a clear case for that. And so you would be in favor then of having primary debates, even though the media will just blow that out of proportion. You say, all right, Gessler, Brophy, Tancredo, maybe anybody else who comes in, just duke it out in the primary and see what happens. Is that where Dick Wadhams would come down on that?
I think competition is good. I think not having debates I don't understand it. I'm perplexed by it because I think that people ought to be able to not only enunciate their own agendas and why they want to be a U.S. senator or governor, but they need to be able to contrast with their opponents, even in a Republican primary, because it's going to happen in the general. If a candidate has problems with their candidacy, just ignoring them and not talking about them in the primary phase of an election doesn't make them go away when the general election comes around. And I think Republican voters, who I think are pretty darn smart, they can discern who would be the smartest the best candidate
sure.
to go into a general election.
So Dick, does that mean that something like the Tancredo peace plan is something that you'd be against, or is Tancredo trying to say, yeah, let's debate, let's talk about the issues, but let's not dig up the mud and fling, spitballs at each other?
Listen, I don't think it's spitballs or mud when you talk about somebody's public record in terms of positions they've taken, in terms of public statements they've made. Because those public statements and positions will be talked about in the general election phase of the campaign. I'm not talking about personal attacks. I'm talking about fundamental discussions and debates on issues, because that's issues matter in campaigns. I think one of the things I really laid out in that piece is the how those four individuals had very clear conservative positions that not only appeal to the Republican base, but to independent voters. I think I think those unaffiliated swing voters in the suburbs that are so hard to get are fiscally conservative. And if a Republican can enunciate those principles, they will vote for that Republican, as those four individuals show. The trouble with the people who have lost in the state in the past is that they either veered off in a bunch of discussions and positions that repelled those voters or made them uncomfortable, or they had no agenda to begin with. And that's why they lost.
Okay. Now, Dick Wadhams, let me just throw a few somewhat short answer questions your way. And this ties into what you were just saying. Can a Republican pro-life candidate win statewide at the present time?
Yes. A pro-life Republican can win as long as they don't – two things, Matt. As long as they don't make that the centerpiece of their campaign, or, to be honest, if they do not, as long as they don't embrace and endorse the personhood amendment.
Okay.
Schaefer did not endorse personhood, and Archbishop Chaput did not support personhood. It has dragged down a lot of Republicans in Colorado and across the nation. But yes, a pro-life candidate can win.
Okay, and again, we've got about 2 minutes here.
Okay.
So now, could Wayne Allard have won a third term if he would have thrown his hat in the ring for that term three? That's kind of a hard question, but what do you think?
You know, Matt, actually, that's a very good question. I think Senator Allard would have had a very hard time in 08. And because I think 08 is one of those election years where you look back and you say, that was truly a Democratic wave year. I mean, the Obama,
right.
The whole Obama thing, the George Bush fatigue. I think Senator Allard would have had a hard time winning a third term.
But it's not because the Colorado electorate has changed. Would you say that?
Part of it is the change of the electorate, because six years is a long time, and the electorate does change. But I think it had more about the dynamics of that election with the Obama thing, Bush fatigue, just that whole, and you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes, I sure do. Okay, now, say Tom Tancredo, who you would say is the front runner now, say he is the nominee, does the Colorado Republican Party establishment coalesce behind him and give it the full effort if he comes out on top?
I'm sure they will. I'm sure that the Republican Party will coalesce around whoever the nominee is in 2014.
Dick, it sounded like you thought there might be some underdogs or some unknown candidates still sneaking their way into either the Senate or the governor's race.
Yes, I'm not sure we've seen the entire field in either race. I don't know who those candidates would be right now, but there's still time for candidates to get in. I think if you're going to run, you need to get in by the fall, but there's still time.
Okay, well, tell you what, Dick Wadhams, great conversation with you. We hope we can invite you back often as 2014 comes upon us. That we invite everybody to check out Dick Wadhams' great column, The Denver Post, came out today, getting national play. Check it out. Thank you again, Dick Wadhams.
Thank you.